Don't put in any kind of a filling. The chances are in your favor that it, that will grow back. But you realize that you have territory teeth, you know. Originally to start off, and then you have four wisdom teeth, two above and two below. Negative 36 each. So I'm sorry, no, 36. 18 above and 18 below. So that's what the wisdom teeth comes in after.
Do you advise leaving wisdom teeth no matter what they might be doing to your mouth?
Well, the wisdom tooth is normally considered by most dental people a distortion in the mouth. Mm-hmm. Why would nature give you wisdom tooth?
Wisdom.
Yeah. Smart guy.
Wise guy.
So what happens to the poor person whose dentist has smashed their wisdom teeth? What do you do? Wait and grow some more at 70?
Originally, your spinal column was 36 bones.
36.
You lost four by stop being a gorilla. Monkey has 36. And the gorilla and the ape, they don't have a tail, so they lost their four bones to make their tail, and they have like a human being. The human being is like the monkey and the gorilla. Which one? Monkey has his tail. The gorilla doesn't have a tail. The ape don't have a tail. So those four bones that make up the tail of the monkey came off. Mm-hmm. We came into the next level of evolution. That was the next type of body that we came into. We came through the ape-type body, phasing out in the monkey-type body. So originally, the spinal column, sometimes we do find the person has a little tail, exactly like the monkey, as a throwback or a crown. So, but this is what you come in. Those four are missing. They reappear in your mouth as teeth, called wisdom teeth. You have exactly the same, each tooth representing a cervical. So if you break down in one of your teeth, you can actually go to the missing tooth into the cervical and find that that's where you have a problem or pressure. Uh-huh. There's no nature gave man his own self regenerative mechanism called a human body. You just to understand it by reflecting to the different parts.
So any difficulty in your teeth reflects a difficulty in the spine column. Hmm.
Because all of those cervicals are interrelated to it. Now when I broke my body years after, then my teeth all started to collapse. Not until I broke the body. And the first real break, dental problem I had was these teeth from teeth. And I smashed the shin. And I hit my head as a kid. Then, it wasn't about 4 years after, my front teeth started breaking down.
But you have them now.
Then, when I fell off the building and smashed up the whole thing, then my other teeth started to break out into the area, so I had a very good luck by having a friend who was a dental surgeon himself, and he decided to do the work for me. But he didn't put no implant, he said, because there's a possibility they may grow and then push out the implant, so you give me a little plate. I didn't want to use the plate because it allows dust, so I left the 1 year, but these are the possibilities of it growing back.
But what about your front teeth?
What happened? Well, he drilled in gold pins and put in ceramic or porcelain. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
If they want to follow, that's all right. My original, the way the gold pin is pushed into is part of my original teeth that they cut and
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that can always push out.
So I have the same thing.
So that is possible if it wants to push itself. But I have to function with it that way. So I learned there are two ways to steer around. Makita or obey. But then you obey, you never mark up, you don't get grace. And then you mark it up, and you stick it out, you get grace. So it's good to mark up and stick out.
But if you pull out a wisdom tooth, likely it won't grow back then.
No, it doesn't grow back. The wisdom tooth doesn't grow back. But that's more of a frequency pattern to the way the cervical and how the whole spine is set up.
So if you only have three wisdom teeth, you probably have an extra.
You'll get your
both. Little tail.
Well, it's a compensation.
So then when you get those wisdom teeth, if they're jamming your other teeth real tight and making them, you know, change in your mouth, is that a sign about your spine? What's going on, that your spine's too tight?
From top to the bottom.
So it's probably like too tight from the top and the bottom?
That's from every
time.
So that's why they do mandible.
So if you work on your spine, your jaw's going to change?
All right. There are two ways people talk. This way. I tell you, man, I'm going to see you next week. I'll come by and see you. Okay? Then there is this way. How are you? Doing fine? That's the other way. Now, most people today, when you see them talk, even when you look at TV, you know they have tremendous dental work, not for their mouth. Hello, Mrs. Jones. You look terrific. Right? They're right. Yeah. But they talk right. And their pronunciation go out. So my friend who's a dentist, you know, he said, well, you take and fix it up to make it function efficiently. Don't expect them to talk to you like this. Expect them to talk like this.
That's
right.
You
probably prefer using. Well, I laugh at times, but this is, it's not the criticism to the ethnic group, but the majority of TV announcers that are Negroes in America all want their mouth to go at it with the talk. Most of them, before I used to, when the first used to come on and see them, and they all used to talk like that. You know, the mouth work loose. And the last 10 years, many of them that came on now that are doing TV commercials, they all talk as much as this. And I can tell that they've done a lot of dental work in their mouth. And I was in Carolina. The college there, and that's the biggest thing they got for all the college students is to get their mouth to fix it. Do it. They get to send them to their dentist. They lose what they call that southern drawl in there.
Well, we like that. Maybe you do.
You want to talk to Terry?
Okay. Machine for you, then we'll talk about how to work it on the body, and then how much time it works in the sun, and you disconnect to get the heat, and you get the food.
So you'll cover all that tomorrow, see if it works. So maybe use him as a demonstrator.
If it is gold or crockery. Am I supposed to answer this?
Or what came first, the eagle or the egg?
Oh, oh, very good. Too bad that isn't taped. Or is it taped?
Everybody here?
No, Thomas isn't here.
Okay,
Julius is here either.
He's coming.
We'll wait for him.
In the meantime, can I ask a question to hang over from last night? What is the part of the individualization that has continuum?
Or do you want it to be? Everybody can see it very much.
How does a bubble form in a bowl of water?
Don't the oxygen molecules bind together, precipitate together?
You sure they don't shift the water up? And then the bubbles are suddenly popping out.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Oxygen in the water.
Leave the water to itself. It has no bubbles, right?
It's some kind of agitation.
Okay. Agitation means what? Energization or energization or stimulation? Action? So, what is the power? Is the pressure applied to the craving, which is the magnetic field, to the environmental mass called elements. And out of that comes the manifested form or bubble. And that is the first manifestation of individuality. Sonex gives rise to individuality by taking the mass out of its periodic movement of constriction and dilation and organizing it into a geometry. So in the beginning was the word or the sound waves resonating upon the mass that was already existing there in a state of constriction and dilation, having no geometry. But then they were forced to move towards a geometry by the resonance or the harmonics. And then the geometry is sustained by the harmonics being surrounding it all the time till it's withdrawn, and then they start separating their geometry. But they cannot stop what? Their individual pieces are constricting and dilating. So individuality is a condition that cannot be revoked. Once given by the sound waves to take a form, permanent. So that's how come creative intelligence seeks to touch itself out of its own magnetic field by organizing geometry through sonics to give it form by using skin as a container to experience touch. And it's only skin that gives this particular condition called individuality. So, even though the plant life is there, it has to surrender its resin by heat to move down through the non-sodium chlorine water surrounding the pine trees centuries ago, and then they move through to the water containing sodium and chlorine, and that resin then amalgamated with the sodium and chlorine into anaerobic and anaerobic process and became amoeba or cell. So intrinsically your skin is a resin base, but from the pine source. That's why it's the only oil that sun rays will make a mesh with. Other oils don't do it. They don't work. So we know definitely the origin of your skin comes from the pine oil. So you as a form now hold the other elements together with this particular resin, and therefore the pine nut oil is the connective tissue binder of your body. And that's where old age is inhibited, or breaking down the cell is inhibited by the use of the pine nut. So when the Russians discovered that years ago, they thought they were crazy. Now we know they're not.
Applied to the skin or eat it?
You eat it. Well, you, men, like the American Indians and all different parts of the world, wherever they were, they all ate the nuts.
Yeah.
But to them, it just looked like a ritual thing, but no longer is it true. It's factual physics today, but that's very true. So, let me ask these two people again, can you come back tonight, or are you unable to come back tonight?
I can come back tonight and tomorrow.
Okay, good. So, and it says in, and division. So unified field, there's no division. There's no touch. You can't touch in a unified field. You can be conscious in a unified field, but you can't touch. You can only experience touch by having individuality. So it has to divide itself into bubbles. So the water becomes various bubbles experiencing individuality to interact as touch.
So we're just little bubbles.
Hmm?
We're just little bubbles.
Take away the nose from the plug where you got. Unified field again, back to 144 elements, they call you fetus.
So what's memory then, Adam?
You ever look at a computer, what's it made of?
Bytes.
Where did you store the data in the computer? On what material?
Crystal.
Crystal.
Silicon. It's the only element that's going to store next to what? Carbon. They don't use silicon dating because it'll never last. It'll fall apart when you hit it some carbon. So carbon dating is permanent. But it's too expensive to do carbon dating machines. Silicon is cheaper. So we have a silicon device available to be used to store impressions that are resonant frequencies. But for it to be permanent, we go to carbon. Yet the two together can keep the data for a heck of a long time till they bump each other. Now if they bump each other, the silicon will squash and the carbon will still keep the dating. So it's called carbon dating. So your body happens to be a carbon-based body. You were once a silicon form. You were once a sulfur form, and you were once a methane form. Those are different forms of storing data. But they all crash up in comparison to carbon. That's why those beings who are in those forms aren't trusting if really they should clean up by giving up their identity or individuality. They want to see if really they should go up the uterine canal and test out their viciousness and become a winner. You did it.
So then that's the, what they refer to is the veils. When we come into carbon, all that memory is crashed.
No, it's turned down, not turned off.
It's what?
You volunteer. You volunteer to take the chance to turn down your memory, to go through the uterine canal, to work out the viciousness in order to be rewarded with the goods.
But it's turned down by shifting from methane
or
silicon into carbon.
Right.
Because it's a higher frequency carbon?
No.
Lower.
It's lower.
So that's where the data is lost, or...
But you see, the carbon is the only one that can become what? Diamond. But it first goes through powder, charcoal, then into carbon runner, of brushing material, and then into diamond. And that is different degrees of heat, which reflect as pain or harassment.
Because is that also different degrees of memory?
Memory is only imprint and playback. There's nothing but memory.
But in other words, when you get to diamond form, then you have this complete memory of all those other states of being?
You turn the frequency on a silicon chip, and you play the whole thing on replay. Your brain is set up the same way. We haven't learned anything new. We're only taking our agricultural language and making it more confusing. When actually the physics is there already. Have you ever heard inside how your body sounds?
Last
night, yesterday. Today we'll finish up this particular thing and we'll go to the show within the body. And all the so-called who's are ones of belonging. Who you are isn't valid. You live a lot of emotional fixations with it, and it will make you sick. But because we don't realize that, and we're put into that process, we have to work our way through it. And that's why the promise, or the only reward, is to him that overcome it, or her, I'll not send forth a second time. And they left it like that. But hard-headed jerks like me would question the authority by saying, overcome what? What do I have to overcome that I don't go back a second time? And when I'm told flat-faced what I have to overcome, I didn't cry, I laughed. I said, I want all my karma right away.
Adana, there's something I'm not getting here. If by overcoming we don't have to return, then why are there all these other beings wanting to come back in?
Do you know what it is to overcome? I just made a statement. Uh-huh. I did not know until I asked the question and I was told what it was. I want all my karma right away.
So,
but when I was given my karma, I realized what a jerk I was.
Uh-huh.
You know what it is you have to overcome?
Past actions.
Yeah.
Most everybody assume all kind of labels, but when they tell you what it is, it'll blow your mind. You don't know what you have to overcome. It's a very broad statement. It's a physics law. What do you think you have to overcome that you don't go back a second time?
Yeah. Individuality. Yeah.
Good. Congratulations. What do you call that guy who read last night in that blue book there?
Poverty.
Yeah. What was the ultimate, what...
Jivan Mukta?
What,
no,
you read it, buddy.
Mukta.
You read it last night.
Parama Mukta.
What do you call it?
Paramukta.
Well, freed from what?
Death.
Good.
So it's called Paramukta, isn't it?
Paramukta. So when I asked for all my karma, what did I get?
Yeah,
I fell off a building 30 feet and smashed it up. And then I had to face what they call death for the first time and overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have a choice, either to go through the process or reincarnate again to face down my memory, to start all over, to use my willpower, to train myself, to meditate and be a good jerk again, in order to face the same situation, how to live to die, so I don't have to freak out, or learn to live to live. So every time I take a human body, what am I learning?
How to die, yeah.
Congratulations. So Paul comes along and says, man, you jerks, what the heck you think you want? You want miracles and all them fancy jokes? You don't know what the hell it is all about. And here I can lay down flat on your head. I rebuke you in your rejoicing for I live and die daily in the Lord. I'm free from the death trough. And he walked away to be a tent maker. You know what the Romans government said? Kill that guy. We don't want him because if we don't let that guy behave the way he's behaving, everybody will be free. And you know they kill him. And to this day, his body don't rot. They crucified the guy. Everybody wouldn't rot. Because he realized what was the science behind the whole thing. That this was atomic physics. And the only trick behind it was telling yourself you got to live to die. And so this society is set up to live to die. In it, you must go to work, boy. And then you must get married, boy. You get your children ready. And then you work and provide for them. Get your insurance. Buy your piece of land in the ground. And buy a little a place where you're going to finally, phase out to be nothing. And then leave all the rest to the kiddies. What kind of a program is that? Living to die. Now, if you live to live, you're a jerk and a weirdo. But as long as you live to die, you got reincarnation waiting for you. And the elements will provide it because that's their job. They don't have a right to kill you. But they sure got a right to provide you all the opportunities to live to die. Now, if you live to live, that's the investiture you got. The investiture is what they call the Christ consciousness. Living to live. So Jesus came down to tell his own brothers and sisters who were gung-ho living to die to quit that stupid nonsense and start focusing on living to live. They didn't want to believe him. So what they did to him? They nailed him to a cross, only to find out they were the biggest jerks. He got away laughing. Now prove if you've got my body. Do we have any body of Jesus? Did he really live, or is this not a bunch of imagination for centuries now?
How do you know? Yeah.
Yeah, good. You ain't got no body to show that he ever existed. So it's a bunch of imagination, people putting in your head so they can control you. That's what you call verbal slavery. Put a chain around your foot, that's manual slavery. Put the word in your head that somebody who's here is going to bless you and take you to heaven. That can be verbal slavery too. We ain't got the body to prove. The point is this. Living to die is not the process. Living to live is a process, but to do that you got to understand what you are. And if you live to die, you don't know what you are, you only live into who you are. So that's the essence of it. So, that's the only thing you have to overcome. Conscious freedom from the breathless state or the breath-free state.
Breathless.
Hmm?
Breathless.
Conscious freedom from the breathless state or the breath-free state?
You want to be breathless.
Hmm?
Freedom from the breath-free state because you want to be breathless.
Congratulations. See how you get your physics correct? A breath-free person is who? A dead person. And go wait for another body to start breathing again to learn what? To overcome
to
what?
To overcome the breath-free,
breath-free attitude.
But if you overcome it, then do you breathe forever?
Yes. Because who is breathing?
God.
What?
Hmm?
Well, if the breath is God, then it breathes itself.
Good. If breath is God and it comes into you, who is breathing? Individuality or totality?
Totality.
And then who are you?
Totality.
Congratulations. You're not a God, you're God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the whole essence of it. God became us to give himself a chance to experience individuality as form.
And so in order to breathe forever and be God, you need to be physical forever?
That's right. We only see three of the wonders of the result of that principle. There are 24 wonders. 21 I can't tell you because you got to work for it to recognize it. But I'll tell you three of it. Number one, you don't rot. You're like the butterfly. It's already in your DNAs and RNAs. Number two, you can come in the room and go out of it. And number three, they cannot photograph you no matter how you like. They cannot photograph you no matter how they try.
Because the camera goes through you, right?
Yeah. Touching him, making sure he's not an apparition.
Thomas.
Congratulations. Some frequency is the source and origin of it. The initiate is the only one who can do it scientifically without belief. But we don't interfere with those who go by the road or the route of belief. We don't interfere with that. They have a right to go by the route of belief. We only have one problem. Belief tends to nurture the need for miracles. Understanding and the laws of the dynamic physics is no need for miracle. You are the living miracle. So you live this simple life and you become what is known as the cosmic nursemaid. Or a cosmic babysitter.
Can I ask one question? Yeah. You brought up the statement about Paul saying, I rejoice.
I rebuke you in your rejoicing, for I live and die daily in the Lord.
Well, Yogananda doesn't quote it that way.
Okay.
Can I just ask you about it?
Go ahead.
I noticed this at the clinic the other day. He says that the correct quote is, I protest by our rejoicing, which I have in Christ, comma, I die daily.
That's all right.
He says that's the correct, but that doesn't make any sense to me.
Why?
Well, I don't understand, I protest by our rejoicing. I don't know
the group were there, and he protested that they should be spending all their time focusing upon the miracle. The born again attitude, you know, Pentecostal, all those roll in the dirt attitude.
So in other words,
brother and sister, your sins are floating lump by lump after they're baptized in the pool.
Okay.
That's what he was trying to infer. He's protesting that that's not where the whole truth is all about. That if the real truth was in the understanding of how the physics work, he had gone to the next level. He left the belief level.
Why does that rule out rejoicing? I don't get it.
Belief is a seed that you get something for nothing, and you always continue to rejoice that you got through without putting out any effort. But when you put out effort by discipline and self-control, it doesn't require belief. It develops compassion and understanding, which is responsibility. So he was trying to infer to his own brothers and sisters in the process that they were not taking on the responsibility to live. They were simply hanging on to the passenger consciousness, the something-for-nothing attitude. They weren't getting behind the wheel and driving the car themselves. That's the reason why today the church is facing down. They can't understand why they're losing people, because they're still fostering the passenger consciousness.
So then you earn grace. Is that so?
Yes.
And
yeah.
Taking this thought, one of the things that's hard for me to grasp is when you work on us, aren't we being passengers?
No.
How are we not? When you work on me, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you're... I don't know what's... I'm not conscious of what's taking place.
In the first place, what are we correcting when we work on a person?
Misapplied decisions.
Hear what he said? That's all we're correcting.
Mm-hmm. Misapplied decisions?
Yeah. You're not correcting anything else other than a misapplied decision. A well-applied decision is what? Do you need anybody?
No.
When it's misapplied, what do you need?
Help.
So one sister said to me years ago when I met her, Adano, when you know God or the truth, that's another way she put it.
She said what?
When you know God or the truth. See, most people don't understand truth. They think it's something, God is truth already. When you know God, not a God, when you know God or truth, which means the laws of nature itself, how it is set up, all your good and lousy decisions are fulfilled. You may not like your lousy ones, but they are fulfilled. You may only like your good ones because you don't feel threatened by it. But she was telling me in simple language, there is no way to get around a spoken word once released by the mouth, be it a well-applied decision or a misapplied decision, you are liable for the result. And it comes back to you, like it or not. So she was trying to get rid of the idea of belief and infer that action stems from statements made and they must be experienced. They cannot be negated or avoided. They will come up at some point in time to be experienced. That's why they call it cause and effect. The scientists call it cause and effect. The yogis call it karma.
The action of words.
Action. Every single word you utter, you'll have to live. I'm no joke.
Even if it's uttered on the inside, not verbal.
That's right. Because there's no inside outside. What you're talking about inside is an agricultural term for invisible range of the frequency of the sound. And you talk metaphysic mean beyond. It only means the invisible range of the frequency. There's no such thing as a beyond or inside. It's the invisible range of the frequency versus the visible range of the frequency.
So when we think, it's just as much the word as when we speak.
What you think is the electromagnetic discharge to the replay function called biofeedback from the brain to the input pressure of the five senses impressed upon the brain in the silicon chip. Now working through the medulla oblongata, the carbon base released to your mouth. You want the physics? Doctors have already done it. There are a lot of doctors that look at you and you guys, oh, where are you a bunch of kids yet? Mm-hmm. Wake up to your religion. They got a lot of equipment. That's why today now we're trying to catch up to bring the individual to a level where he doesn't live no more with the illusions of the churchianistic thinking and start to get on with the real Christian thinking, which is pure cosmic science. The initiate has to come to grips with the world around him is no longer what it appears to be. We've outgrown a lot of the things, but we didn't know how to connect it in the terms of the language. And now that we can connect it in terms of the language, we can use it and benefit much more. And see, what is the length of time it takes for a person to make a shift in one level of consciousness, it can be speeded up and make them more responsible as a person and less irresponsible. And so belief is playing the role of a passenger in a car. Understanding is the role of the driver behind the wheel of the car. Now, how often did you envy your parent driving the car? Most of your life, eh? Till you got behind the wheel, and then what happened? You put up or shut up. Because why? The car will smash up, or you'll be smashed up. And that's exactly what this body is. When you quit the belief level and you go into the understanding level, then the responsive control is yours, not until then. And that's why we want the individual to understand. That's why Paul and all these men were saying it thousands of years ago, or hundreds of years ago, get on, but we weren't ready for it. Now we are ready for it. Okay. We want to understand the body in terms of the application of the frequencies to how you use it. You understand yesterday we have zones going through, and then we have to understand what the zones represent and then how they divide from the foot right up to the head, right? You got that clear. The human body moves in a force field in a strange way. You think I'm walking here, I'm taking it for granted, in this empty space. And if instruments were to point out to you that empty space having various frequencies bombarding your body, you'd freak out. But because the brain is set in such a way not to make you feel vulnerable until you reach a certain age, then you become conscious of the force field in which you live in. So they say, 30 years, your first Saturn return, you're entitled to muck up your body. This body is not a body, number one. And it's not yours, number two. And it is a cosmic manifestation of God in order for Him to work through as you. But He's allowing you to muck it up in the first 30 years of the Saturn process set by the cosmic force fields, that you get rid of your so-called belief rhythms. You're entitled to that. Then Mother Nature comes in and smacking your tuchus and break up some bone or some part, and it always seems to synchronize with the sign of the zodiac to which you are assigned to. So, Capricorns usually get what? Breakage where?
Oh, bones.
Good. And Tauruses get theirs where?
Stiff necks.
Good. See? And so, the astrological charts aren't any phony. They're there to remind the individual at age 30, Mother Nature is going to whack it to you to quit your nonsense.
What happens to Scorpio?
Friend. See where the Jupiter type or the Sagittarians are and the fat ass? And in the tree there, you got the tail bone, the sexual organs. And any way up into that area are always subject to some kind of a stress pattern in a Scorpio.
Aquarians?
Aquarius? Always down here.
Ankles and feet?
So the sign of the zodiac, you see the man is set up, and that's how he's set up to learn his lesson, to separate belief to understanding. Well, he didn't know that. If he was told all of that, he wouldn't volunteer in the first place. So he wasn't told that, he was drafted to experience it. That's why we have to go that route. And we've come this far from the drafting route to the rebellion route. We all rebel. Don't kid yourself. Oh, so I'm going to rebel that. But then we have to clean it up. The first Star Wars, you're there. You don't want a second Star Wars. That'd be stupid. Right now, we want to clean up. And we volunteer to clean up. We volunteer to take the body. We volunteer to go through the uterine canal to shut down the memory temporarily and to reactivate it in order to learn how to work with it for the first time. And then the reward or the Oscar, only the carbon-based body is possible, not possible in the others. There's no reward for that. They can't chemically make it. The 144 elements are not designed to give you an Oscar in the other types of body. They're only designed by nature to give you the Oscar in the carbon-based body, and that is the non-decomposing mechanism of a carbon-based form. So Jesus and all the other great masters have to come back and use the carbon-based body to do it. They can't use the other kind. They know it. And so I'm not against people who are channeling and all these things. Those beings don't want to give up their memory banks. And so they're afraid that if they were to take the uterine canal, they may be aborted or they may be miscarried. And then they got started. So they are in that frame of lockdown. You and I have already done what we got now, the opportunity to understand what we got. So we don't criticize those individuals because there's an avenue that's waiting for them to make their own decision. And the person who goes through that
being a conscious and the time frame of revolving around the sun and the sun going around with Alpha Centauri in that particular slot, we do have pre-conscious feeling to clean up. That's valid. Even Jesus did it at 12, but found he couldn't impress nobody, so he took off for 18 years and hid himself. Then he came back at 30 to tell them off. And still they couldn't take it, so they strung him up on a cross, and now they can't find his body. So that's what we're talking about, that he had to go through all these different things that we are coming to look at the laws of physics involved and understand that you can't push the process faster than that. So 30 is what we call it. From 29 to 30 of that whole first range is the period we are allowed through our individuality to muck it up or make an attempt to start clearing it up. Then after that period, the whole next 30, you're really focusing on it because you do realize the valid truth of cleaning it up. You begin to see the control that is coming to you for the first time. You don't see it before. So that's why we had to learn it that way. Then 70, don't mean you're going to die. That's what the Bible is talking about. That's another, you have to go, 2 times 30 and 10 more, right? So that's the second Saturn return. You've already done your work cleaning up for the first 30 that you mock up. The second 30 you clean up. Then comes the 10 that sets with your fingers, frequencies. And then you switch now from your first phase out naturally, not by avoidance. You phase out by the DNA. They no longer need to eat. You start drawing the energy from around you. It's naturally set up. Now that we are approaching sonic frequencies, you know how to draw, right?
Good.
But we don't go boast about it. So the initiate has the jump on the other person, and that's why Jesus said, until you are given the keys of the kingdom, until the masses never, because they are ready for it. They have a right to live their own fears and frustrations because they're all levels of individuality. The initiate is called to look upon it and to work with it. So 70, and I met the man and he was 150 and I thought he was only 100 just for the sake of it. And I was thinking in my head, what age do you switch over? And as soon as I got to the door, and I pushed my head and there are 42 doctors and scientists in the place, and the guy looks up at the interpreter who's the top doctor and make a few gestures and quirks and then the man looks right across the door. I push the door to come in. I'm late.
And he said, Mr. Lee, I'm exposed already. Baba says, three score ten. Then he thought I was really crazy. I was figuring it in my head, what time does the brains and the body switch over? He can't give me the figure. What does he really mean? And he told me you die right there. Then again, he quivered his hand like this, and did that. Mr. Lee, Baba says, you know, by that time, the whole 40 guys want to beat the shit out of me. After he was finished talking for a while, then he got up, and all these guys come over, who the hell are you, man? I said, look, don't get excited. The host came over and says, please, gentlemen, this person has been doing this type of research long before you guys. You only came in because of certain funding programs and certain unusual things that took place in the lab. But he was working years ago when he fell off a building. So what he's finding out is confirmation of how the body switches over to the non-eating state. And he left it at that. 3 score 10 is set by the biblical writers in the agricultural language as a time frame for the actual switchover. Mm-hmm. But most of us thought when they read it, that was when you're supposed to die and leave the planet. No, you die to the world through the mouth by no longer needing to eat. So when a person comes to you and says, you want some food? No, thanks, I don't need it. But you know what they made this guy do? He's 150 years of age, and I settled for 100. When he came over from Sri Lanka, his doctors had to sign a document that you take one glass of water in America just in case you don't die in this country for not eating. he had a document he will take, agree to take. The funny thing was this, what time of day do you think you take a glass of water?
Night.
He had a choice. It's 24 hours. You can take one glass of water. Now, let's see. You guys study soil nutrition up to what? Class 2? You had class 2 already. Mm-hmm. Let me see if you. What time of the day would you think if you were in that position, non eating state, what time of the day would you take a glass of water?
Evening.
Mm-hmm. What time of the day?
6 p.m.
Morning.
12.
I think you take it during hydrogen time in the morning between 7 and 9. But oxygen time is different. But there are two molecules of hydrogen in a molecule. I mean, two atoms of hydrogen in a molecule of water. So I go for hydrogen time between 7 and 9.
That's right. Because the substance is made of what? Hydrogen and oxygen. And that's the time he took it. Now, most people will wonder why he took it then. But these men are scientists. They weren't that. Most people got the notion that most of these gurus are people who just walk off and left society. Not true. 99% of them are the richest men in the world, most educated men in the world. They never confine geniuses acting, living those roles. They call them the SMS, the Saint Millionaire Student, scientist. So he was a highly educated doctor, yeah? But he's pursuing the actual science. Now, we know today we're catching up with them and we don't want to be left behind, and so your health is more important to you. First, and it's in the terms of frequency we find it. We walk in a field that is always around us and we don't realize it. And so, it goes up the right and goes on the left. You call this the ascending side and the descending side, and your organs are fixed to be in the same ratio. Now, if I was put a circle there, and it goes up this way, in the front it will be like that, right? And if I walk through it, what would it be doing on my back?
It's doing hers.
So, for that reason, we find out it's locking in to a law of nature that put us together. The human being, a male, is two sperms, right? And a female is two sperms, right? Or a male is two ovums, right? And a female is two ovums?
Sperm
and an ovum. But what makes you male and what makes her female if you were both sperm ovum?
A red dot. They found out it isn't the XY chromosome, it's a red dot on the chromosome.
A what?
A red dot. They just discovered there's a little red dot.
Good. Keep talking.
Absence or presence creates.
Keep talking because you're going to come back to exactly where your foot is, you know. Ain't no joke and ain't no color spectrum because you're all physics and I don't want to go too fast. I want you to look at yourself because you're the living model of the creative intelligence walking on the earth in a miniature bucket. This is a mini universe. It is all complete, but what is so unique about it that the cosmic ecology or environment zeroed in to make a mini model of the whole thing. That's why it's called individuality, playing the role. The frequency that oscillates back and forth to make the male or female is in frequencies. So the male body operates in a 24, the female body operates in a 26. And that's the difference why they come out that. But they both are composed of a sperm and an ovum.
What sets that frequency? What sets that frequency?
Resonance. It's called the resonance harmonic. In the beginning was the word.
I mean, what sets it as 26 or 24?
The resonance harmonics. There's a resonance harmonics that sets it. The male body's cells will oscillate at 24. The female body cells operate at 26. So that forces what? His penis to pull inward and become a uterus. There ain't no difference. If you pull it out the other way, that's why we have what? Transvestal situations at 25. All the different problems that occur between the male and female body is at the 25 cycle frequency. So you can find what you call the problems of the male and the problems of the female at the 25 cycle frequency. So the body distorts at that frequency. But it has to have a crossover to have a distortion. So you have 24 to 26 to 25. So you can always pick up, when you take a special device, you pass it over a human body, no matter what clothes they wear, you can tell if they're truly what people claim, that they're homosexual or lesbians. It's no longer valid to label it by the way they walk. That's not true.
They're in the 25 frequency?
They're in the 25 frequency.
What does that measure? What is the machine?
It measures the constriction pattern of these genital organs. And that's brought on by the sonic resonance of the parent at the time.
Of the parents?
Yeah.
So it is something that is hereditary.
Well, you didn't say it was irrevocable.
Who's going to say it wasn't in the parent? Because where is it, if the person is going to have a sperm and ovum to be a body in the first place? Now, as a parent, have a problem in their emotional makeup, they're going to transfer it to their sperm, or they're going to transfer it to the ovum. Then the two are going to bond to form a form that will be in a state of oscillation by harassment from the environment, either to be more 24 or be more 26. And so they're caught in the two harassment, and their brain shuffles back and forth, so they're operating in a 25 cycle frequency. So this side is referred to as the male side in front, and this is the female side in the front. And if you walk through it, automatically the back becomes the male side, and this side becomes the female side at the back.
The right side is the female side.
Front. The right side is the female side in front. And the left side is the male side in the front of the body. And on the back, the right side is the male, and the left side is the female. Now, I asked the question one time, and I know me and Alistair ask crazy questions, and the person looked at me and says, why you ask such a question? I said, you know, sir, I don't see any seams on my skin. Why you call this front and back? Well, isn't it common to say that the female is the left side and the male is the right side because their foot is strong? And so, that's providing you don't understand what you are. You'll hear them and you'll read books where they say that the left side is left.
Female.
And the right side is male.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then, and I asked that same question, the person who was instructing laughed and says, that's providing you don't know what you are. But turn yourself and look at yourself good. That's only the back end of your mechanism, not the front end of your mechanism. But then I said, sir, you don't have a seam to indicate front or back. He says, that's the joke. The back end has a different frequency. It doesn't have a seam. And the front has a different frequency. And therefore you will learn now that it is not seams that we're referring front and back. We're referring frequencies. So it's very easy if you shift the frequency, you can cause a correction or malfunction in the mechanism.
Adana, with what little information I have about the way the brain works with the right side and the left side, the right side administers the left side of the body, right?
In order to make a mechanical movement, nothing else.
But as I understand what I've read too, the right side generates the intuitive, the emotive, the quote-unquote feminine side, and the left is the right brain, the action, the directing force. Is that not true?
That's only in terms of performing action. If this hand would move by a sound, but it can't actually lift up an object and do like that, which of the two sides of the brain is not operating?
Right.
No, the left isn't operating.
Hmm.
Because it cannot do the action.
Yeah.
But the right side of the brain will keep saying, you can do it, try, you can do it, try, you can do it, try. And the left side will say, it ain't moving, it ain't moving, it ain't moving. And one is saying, try, try, try. The other say, it ain't moving, it ain't moving.
Hmm.
Now, they realize this. And in order to correct it, and I can correct it very fast with anybody, we shift, that's where reflexology comes in now. That's why we're teaching the reflexology science in Sonics. So instead of reinforcing the condition, we reverse the frequency through the actual limb causing the reaction to occur in the brain and releasing the synapses that were actually locked down by the first resonance, and therefore the person begins to lift it up. So there was a woman who came to my clinic. She was the aunt of a patient, and she was like that, walking all the time. And the cousins, the niece said to her, Auntie, don't you want the dhamma to work? And, oh, no, no, no. So I said, how long you had your hand like that? She told me. And then I asked her, what color comes to her mind? She told me the color. I said, isn't that interesting? You mean you never could lift your hand? She said, no. Well, I know, you know, your brain is horrible. That it can't lift up its hand. I did like that. And I said, it's a strange thing. Look at this hand. Oh, how many years? 12 years? Yeah. Boy, you know, you ought to put your hand up. And there she goes, miracle, sure, dramatic. What I did, I reversed the frequency to her conceptual thinking and gave back the muscle the strength, which was a verbal connotation. And then she came back in the room. I said, tell me the honest truth now. Speak one dirty word that you love to say, but you stifled all your life from the time you hold your hand. Oh, yeah, happened? I say, yeah, because you took a whole lot of it. And that's the one dirty word. So she let it out. Mm. And then today she called me the phone. I can curse and be happy. I don't feel frustrated if I have to say something horrible. She said, but I don't need it no more. But this is one of the sonics that we've been doing. See, we don't realize that sonics can do these things. We're finding more and more. And there's no miracles after while you see the laws of physics. It's just that we don't have sufficient instruments to calculate it. But the instruments are being built, and they will be built. And there are a lot, the people who have to build them, we see them ahead in time, and we can't take away their opportunity. Even if I know who's going to make a certain device, I cannot take that right away and build it and say, I got to jump on the other guy. I would be blocked. That person is already assigned within that time frame to build that, and he has to go through certain illnesses and certain problems, and then when he builds it, it comes out as a device. This device that I have here, I saw in 1955. I waited until a week ago to get it.
Wow.
A week ago to get it.
Wow.
And the man who devised it and made it, he was cheated many times by patent laws by the people he worked for.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a fantastic scientist. Mm-hmm. But I knew he had to go through all that to come to this little device.
What
where you can actually hear the sonic waves in your body.
Oh,
how they actually... But that's what we want you to understand, that when you start applying the things,
wow,
that you're not guessing. So you're working with a feel. You have a up, down. This is female in front. This is male. And then it reverses. This is male. This is female with you. So when you do a treatment, you work on yourself in the front, because it's difficult to work on your back. When you work on someone, you work on their back first. So we're going to look at the back. Now you can draw the lines in. The upward line going up where the arrow is pointing, this side is black, gray, I'm sorry, gray, and this side is gray, and this side going down is the black. So
going up is gray.
Going up is gray, coming down is black. Black represents the male confrontation, and the gray represents the female confrontation. So anytime you've got a problem, and you ask a person who aggravated you, the therapist can always know right away from the patient. If you say, what color comes to your mind when you think of the incident? 9 times out of 10, they're going to tell you black or gray.
Mm-hmm.
And you're puzzled how they can pick up, because we don't store incidences in words, we store them in colors. So the incidents are stored in the color. The colors are already set to represent different parts of the anatomy. So, when a female person aggravates you, 9 times out of 10, it will land on the right side of the body in the front, or in the left side and the body in the back.
Hmm.
If a male person aggravates you, 9 times out of 10, left side is in the front and right side on the back. It's a set like that. There's a 1%. There's no 100% in any law. Nature doesn't allow for that. There's a reason behind it, and a very valid reason. Because everything is reciprocal like a figure eight.
Mm-hmm.
Everything must go back to itself. So God is 99% of the time a devil, and 1% of the time God. Then he's 99% of the time God, and 1% of the time he's devil. So wherever he shifts, he is directly set. So they call it polarity, or duality, or reciprocal action. So we can't get around that. These are laws set already by nature. We have to live them and work with them. But we have the advantage of understanding it to work with it and not be trapped in it. Now, belief will get you through, don't get me wrong. Belief is like a child. No, no, he's walking over, mind laid on the ground. That can brought you to step in the wrong spot. How many kids are going to find out that they walk? If you leave a kid through a minefield to lead a bunch of soldiers out, 9 times out of 10 he'd get them out before. His sheer curiosity would put him on the spot where he wouldn't step on a mine. When you take a trained soldier and seven crew there, you're not stepping on the mine. You got to go out, find his way out. That's where belief works one way. Now, that doesn't say we can't have the device and we need have both the appreciation of being like a child and the attitude of being mature and adult. You need both. So, my friend who is in that picture, that doctor, he says, Adano, you and I are like this. Like Shiva, you know? You ever see Shiva?
Mm-hmm.
What is that? 1 foot on the ground, making sure that you satisfy the legal who's. They call it the orthodox medicine.
The what?
Orthodox medicine. And the other foot is up in the air, satisfying the curiosity called the unorthodox medicine. Unorthodox is anything you do for the first time nobody accepts. Orthodox is when you do it a second time and everybody thinks it's good. Look it up in your dictionary. It's unorthodox if you did it the first time and it works, you're a weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
The second time it's repetitive and it's performing satisfactory, then it's orthodox, ordained or recognized. So, now yogis call that japa. Repetition. Anything you do by repetition is orthodox. And anything you don't do by repetition, by the sheer fact that you say it, is unorthodox. So you have the same law working inside of you. The front, this side, the arrow goes down, and this side goes up, and this is black. This is green in the front. Up the right, down the left. And then that's in the front. In the back, it's reverse. Up the left, and down the right, in the back. So we have the black in the back, and the gray on the left, in the back. So up the left, and down the right, in the back. So we have the black at the back, and the gray on the left, in the back. So mark your gray spots, see, gray, black, arrows going up and down. And you're working in a force field.
Computerized
Yeah, what is the left and right and the back?
In the front is ascending up the right and descending down the left. The right is female or gray, the color is gray, and the left is male and the color is black. That's in the front. When you reverse it to the back now, on the left side is gray and it's going upwards, and on the right side is black going downwards. See? Gray, black, coming down, going up. In the front is gray, black, going up, coming down. So come see the lines and follow it, then take it off the chart so that you get it. Now, the lines of force, when you're treating the person, operates a certain way. And so you'll see they're going like a triangle. So draw in the triangles and then we'll demonstrate. Then I'll check you as well. Set up the unit for you to see how you do.
Are these triangles front and back?
Yeah, no, only the back.
What color?
They're red.
Red, alright.
Okay.
See the triangle it goes up? One triangle, two triangles, there's another triangle.
What part of the back is that, Adana?
Directly where the thoracic ends and connects to the lumbar. I'll show you. So we'll demonstrate on your body. First I want to set your units for you. So take out your units and bring them around. Let me set them.
Oh goody.
It's not a straight line across here.
No, it's a curved line.
Okay.
That's right. On the shoulder, it's a curved line.
So you know this line that goes, it's not in the center, it's the change with the triangle?
That's right. Okay. Okay, sir, we're set.
Thank you.
I don't think I've got this right. All right, if this is the front, and the gray goes up,
yeah.
It comes down black,
yeah.
Oops. And this is the back,
yes.
The gray goes yes. Up, comes down black. Is that right? Where's that back?
This is still gray.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go over it.
Male and female. Yeah. Oh, he's terrible in here.
What about this?
Is this the way the energy is coming in?
No.
Because that means nothing. I really hate that.
It's the yellow one. It's
the yellow one.
We'll come back and I'll demonstrate to you. Just draw the lines that you see like that, and then we'll come back and demonstrate to you. Next.
Padano, if a person's frequency is 25 and they want to change,
then they have an option to either go 26 or 24.
And how would they start the process?
They have three choices: surgery, input sonics, or
surgery,
sonics, change their lifestyle.
Next.
Yeah. Number on a dial.
It's gonna work for the payback.
It has what is called a curve.
Mm-hmm.
So, like we say, okay, you want to get frequency 20 to be the workable frequency. Now, if you want to look for frequency 20 on a device, it'll never read 20. It'll read 15, 25. It'll come up to 15 and then it'll shoot right across to 25. And then drop back to 15 and shoot up to 25. Drop back. So what it tells the operator, that frequency 20 is in between the range of 15 and 25. And the unit will do like that, bring up the frequency. So you will feel it a low and a high frequency. But it'll give the output to the area within the range of 20. So that's how they work. So you can't get a rule like that and say, hey, it's 20, all going to be 20. No, because you're dealing with oscillations. So you have to have before and after the point of reference that you're working with. It's like your pH factoring your mouth. You take a nitrogen paper, 7 is a thing. But you'll always find 6.5 to 7.5 is the range you're working with. So somebody will read a 6.5, they're normal. Somebody reads 7.5, they're normal. And very few are reading directly 7. But 7 is the range, you see, but that's what you call a curve. That's what you call a curve. It's what you, like that, they're always like that. Awesome, Megan. Now who next? Everybody got their unit turned up? It has three functions. One, it makes a sound that you'll hear.
two, it'll vibrate.
Does it come back there? I got it.
Three, it'll build up heat. When they made it, they didn't know what they had. And I got it, I thought I got gypped. And anybody who you work on, they think they would want to go buy a unit because they feel they can do it themselves. After 15 minutes, they're going to throw it in the corner or tell the guy they got gypped because they wouldn't know what the heck to do with it. That's why they can't sell it. And very few people buying them today. So the Japanese have come along, and this particular unit will not find the store no more. You're going to find a Japanese unit where the frequencies are lower. Only this portion is metal. This part is plastic with a metal bottom to the top. And it's nice and fancy. It makes very little sound. And so the public can use it too.
But it doesn't heat up, so you don't have the extra benefit.
No. All the other things are taken out of it. All it does is vibrate. That's the new one they got. Now, the original were meant like this. Those were the originals, or they built them. Today they make them without that disengaging principle. So you don't have to disengage because people didn't know what the hell it was again. Now, one, it makes a sound. But if you don't know how to set the frequency, it doesn't do a thing for you. Two, it oscillates, it vibrates. Three, it builds up heat. There are no moving parts in your device to break down. Mm-hmm. So you can understand why the people are puzzled. And then why would they make the object with a stainless steel handle? And that other piece of the unit there that you got there that's hooked into the plug, you'll notice it has a metal plate at the back. Don't get fooled by that metal plate. You notice there's an indicator. That metal plate is already set to work with the heat. So that unit that you got is already preset device to work when the resonance builds up after 10 minutes. You can't go beyond 10 minutes. It don't work. 10 minutes you cut off working on a person, and the heat is so minute. It isn't a hot heat to burn you, but it's in the unit here, and it's on the base of that contact, which you pass it over the skin.
So this doesn't heat up. I'm glad. I thought I was going to have to make a little pot holder.
But the heat is there after a while. Now, it resonates. It sends up the sound.
Am I understanding you to say you don't use it for more than 10 minutes at a time?
Yeah. I'm going to demonstrate you. This is not a massage unit. If you go beyond 10 minutes, your unit will quit on you. And you feel like there's no electricity going in. It's signaling to you to disengage from the electrical input and use the acquired heat set up by the 10 minutes oscillation. Now, you remember in the TV tape that you got, he said to the guy, Jonathan, he says, I can't show you the other part of the unit because it's not there's no way to show it on the TV. All you could do was just send the sound and the girl, and the heat unit is an entire different unit. The heat has a separate function, the sound has a separate function, and the oscillation has a separate function. They happen to be in one unit all at one time. Mm. Now, to the average person buying this, they'll do exactly as I did. They'll throw it in a corner after 15 minutes. So forget about trying to tell yourself. Because it's not a massage unit. I got massage units, I have ultrasonic units. They don't do what this is doing. Until I found out what this actually was set up to do, I didn't realize what I got. And to this day, the man who devised it, he's on cosmic vacation. Mm-hmm. And he put it together, he left the whole thing to these people on that tape.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, and they built the bigger units to work. This is the little small gizmo. But you got the best thing going.
But it's the same engineering. The same design that goes into this one, that goes into the one they were using?
No, the other one is a little more... it's individualized. This is more complex. The other ones are individualized. You have one for sound, one for heat, and one for oscillation.
Does it automatically cut off after 10 minutes?
It'll not
disengage.
Vibrate after certain length of time.
Do we have to disengage it then?
You have to keep track of what you're doing. It's not something you can just go and do like a massage. This is not a massage. If you work on a person, optimum time, maximum time is 10 minutes you unplug. Otherwise, you'll start phasing on. There will be nothing coming out, but the warm, the unit will get hot. That's all. That will get hot on that plate. So it has a 10 minutes optimum resonance. Then it will stay warm for 10 to 15 minutes. Normally in the hot unit where they put the, we have to keep the heat on the patient for a minimum of 20 minutes. So that's a special unit designed already for the heat. This is already built into it at the ratio of 10. After 10 minutes of resonance, you got 10 minutes of heat already built into it. It's not a heat built by an element. This is what is called a cold heat by oscillation. It's an entire different heat. It's not a heat that's going to explode anything, but it's a heat that will do internal work in the tissues. So it emanates from the metal by its oscillation and by the resonance. And therefore, when you reach 10 minutes, you have to clock when you work on a person. At 10 minutes, you cut off. You unplug it. And she knows. Tell her.
Yeah, it just gets hot. You have to unplug it. The way I use it, I've had it for about 3 weeks, is that I use it for 10 minutes, and then I just unplug this. And if somebody else comes along, then I'll use it again later. Or else it just gets hot. You have to unplug.
Yes.
Or else it will continue to put energy through it and continue to get hot. So
you
have to unplug it.
You have to do it. So she already had to work, after she knows.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a massage unit. Don't get confused with massage. It's a device that was put together. Many people didn't, even I, who was not aware of what I had. Today I look at this as the Excalibur of the new age. I'm cutting through all the verbal stones. Okay, now we work on the back of the person, and you always start in the upper portion. You don't go to the bottom first. You start here, and I'll demonstrate. So I turn the unit on. Then I got my left hand to go up. You see where I am? That's the first movement. Up, then back down.
In the same,
right.
The same round.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Are you hearing the sound that he's making?
It's hard.